Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. Greetings to all of you listening through audio on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all of the places where you can find my podcast, and to those of you on Facebook Live. Hello. If you're near a computer and able to, go to Facebook and jump on LA Talk Radio's page, and we are live streaming this interview now from the studio in Los Angeles. This is episode 163. I am a licensed clinical social worker practicing as an intuitive psychotherapist. I am licensed as a Reiki, an EMDR level 2, and as a Reiki level 2 practitioner, and as a thought coach through the Institute for Transformational Thinking, where I have learned techniques to help you identify your fear-based and negative thoughts, identify them, release them, and replace those thoughts with messages and affirmations to support you in creating the kind of life that you want to live based on what you're thinking and how you're feeling. And my guest today ties into that kind of mindset. He's a mindset expert. So I'm going to introduce my guest in just a moment. I want to ask you to continue to subscribe to this podcast, All Things Therapy, on the various platforms out there, and join my email list. You can access that through my website, NOLA Therapy. It's the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. I have offices in both cities. I'm available to work with you through Skype, phone, FaceTime, or at my in-person offices in Los Angeles and New Orleans. So please reach out, Lisa at NOLA Therapy, to book sessions with me and join my email list at NOLA Therapy. I was just speaking with my guest about this. My guest is prolific. He has authored over 40 nonfiction books, and I was speaking to him about just completing my first book, coming out with Inner Traditions Publisher in the fall of 2020, having to do with healing our core wounds through empathy and self-forgiveness. And I want to be able to get you my book. So NOLA Therapy, join my email list. Follow me on Instagram at NOLA Therapy and on Facebook at NOLA Therapy. I think that's all for today. Okay, yes, I want to segue into my guest. We are going to be with Brian Robinson, PhD. He's a PhD. He has a blog on Psychology Today called The Right Mindset. He also blogs for Forbes.com. He has been featured in and on 2020, Good Morning America, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, ABC, NBC. He is, and that's just to name a few, he is endorsed by Gloria Steinem, Alanis Morissette, Tara Brach, to include a few, author of over 40 nonfiction books and 2 novels. He has a murder mystery coming out in 2020. His books have been translated into 13 languages. And if you're by a computer, jump on BrianRobinsonBooks.com. It's BrianRobinson, books.com. Today we're discussing this book, Hashtag Chill, Turn Off Your Job and Turn On Your Life. Brian is recognized as one of the world leaders in workaholism, which is big in our culture in the last number of years. Workaholics, the stress, the physical problems, emotional distress that workaholism causes. And Brian has actually developed a psychometric test that is used to measure work addiction in clinical trials and research worldwide. So without further speaking about him, let's speak with him. Hello, Brian. Welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you today on the show. How are you in Asheville, North Carolina?
Great. It's beautiful weather here, a little overcast, but in the last few days, it's been gorgeous. We're up in the mountains and beautiful views and great weather and great people. I wanted to tell you my tagline. I teasingly say, because I write murder mysteries and mostly self-help books, is I heal by day and kill by night.
I love that.
It's a balance, right?
It's a balance.
I don't really kill. I hope I heal, but that's really my goal. But the murder mysteries are just fun. It's like a hobby for me.
Fun for you. And I think that ties into this, the theme of your book, #chill, about cultivating the place within where we experience deep happiness and joy and connection. Can you share with us some about this mindset, helping us to adopt this chill mindset?
Right. Well, the book is about finding that place within that I call, sometimes I call it the C spot, the chill spot. There was an old book by Viktor Frankl, whom I'm sure you know, Lisa, Man's Search for Meaning. It's
I have
a classic
that on my
in our field.
Shelf. Yeah.
It's a great book. And one of his famous quotes is, between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space, when you can find it, there's a choice. And when you make a choice about how you respond to what life delivers, you're free. And, of course, that came out of his experiences at Dachau and Auschwitz, which most of us, thank God, don't experience. Mm-hmm. But sometimes our daily lives can feel like a prison. Not because it's life happening to us, but it's what we do with what comes to us. So I'm a big proponent of when something happens outside of me, instead of allowing myself to be affected by that, making as much as I can a conscious decision about how I want to deal with that. And I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
This is a simple example. And I don't want to make anybody think that I have arrived anywhere, because I haven't. I'm human. I have reactions. I have feelings like everybody else. But my goal, since I saw there were some Buddhist monks when I was teaching at the University of North Carolina, I was a professor there for many years, and they did a big mandala, and they did a performance. And the night of their performance, a group of religious fundamentalists circled outside the auditorium with signs that said Buddhists are of the devil and they worship idols. And they sang Jesus Loves Me. Mm-hmm. They joined hands. So the Buddhist monks, when they heard about it, I witnessed this. They walked outside and they joined hands and they sang Jesus Loves Me with great compassion and love. And the people were so freaked out, they disbanded. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I thought, you know what? I want to be more like that. I want to be able to be, to act instead of react. And so over the years, that's kind of been my personal line of growth, and it's been what I write about. And so no matter how bad things are around us, we can all make decisions about what we want to do with that. So one day, just as a simple little example, I was coming back from Atlanta, which is about 3 hours from Asheville.
Okay.
And I was on the interstate getting off in Asheville on the ramp, and I looked over, and a woman had been in front of me in a little red car, and she flipped me the bird and gave me this ugly look. Mm-hmm. And I was a lot surprised actually. And I thought, what was that about? And on the inside, I saw this part of me. We call them parts in therapy. They're also known as subpersonalities. But my anger was coming, and he was going to blend with me. He was going to take over, and I stopped him because he wanted me to yell something obscenity out the window, which was fine. I mean, we all have anger. So, but I stopped him, and I said, no, that's not who I want to be in the world. And when I was able to do that and make that decision from my center, I felt like I'd hit a home run. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have anger and we don't have worry and we don't have feelings. Of course we do. But all of us can take charge of them, and that's really what #chill is about. How can we live our lives from inside out instead of outside in? So in the book, of course, there are circumstances, and we are going to react. And I tell people, if you ever see me in a traffic jam beating the steering wheel, please understand I'm human. But I try to minimize that and live my life in a way that I'm drawn instead of driven. And I talk about this in the book. And the difference is, when we're driven, we are operating or behaving because of external circumstances, or that little critic in our head, that voice that tells us that we're not good enough. But when we're drawn, we're making a decision from within about how we want to be in the world.
I really liked when I read that in your book, Brian, the difference between being driven and being drawn, because we associate that with success. However, being driven is like that outwardly derived sense of accomplishment, which takes its toll inevitably and doesn't promote deep satisfaction like being drawn. Drawing something out of you is a really different energy and process than almost like beating it out of you with being driven, beating it out of oneself.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Michelangelo, I didn't know Michelangelo, but I know what he did. he painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, and from what I've heard, he worked day and night on it. But that doesn't mean he was a workaholic. If he's coming from a place of passion, or anyone who's listening is coming from a place of passion and calm and clarity, that's not driven, that's drawn. If you're doing the same exact thing and you're freaking out, or you're rushing and you're hurrying and you're trying to get to a deadline and your cholesterol's going up and your heart rate's going up, that's a whole different ballgame, because what that is the sympathetic nervous system or the stress response. But when you're drawn, you're in a whole totally, your nervous system is coming from a whole different place.
That makes me think about where you talk about great work, doing great work, being more than just winning accolades or earning large amounts of money, but it's that working from a place of feeling compassion. Can you talk to us about that? What you mean by great work?
Right. And I mean, it's great to make money, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's great to get accolades. It's great to get awards, and all that stuff is great. But if that alone is what's driving you, that's never going to satisfy. So the flip side of that is to be drawn, is to come from that C spot where you feel compassion, or you feel excitement, you feel clarity. There are 8 C words we use to define that place. Creativity is another one. But again, it's coming from a whole different place inside you. And most artists know very well when they're trying to create, we call it the critic can get in the way. Well, the critic is not part of the C. It's the critic is one of those, it's a stock, I call them stockholders or sub-personalities. They're parts. They're trying to help us, but the critic will come in and say, oh, that's awful. Nobody's going to want to look at this or read this. And so if you're an artist, you have to learn how to have a relationship with your critic, because everybody has one.
Yes.
So that creativity can be unleashed and those other C words can be unleashed. And I talk about that in the book, too. And it's something we call unblending, where you don't fight the critic and you don't try to steamroll over it or debate with it. You talk with it. Now, it used to be people who talked to themselves were considered crazy. But now in psychology, one of the best tools we have in therapy is being able to talk to your parts.
Yes.
And when you do that, that part unblends with you and you start to feel the calm and the clarity and the creativity. But you don't push it away because you need your critic. But you call on it when you need it instead of it just taking over on its own. And that's part of being in that C-spot. And that's part of being drawn instead of driven.
Yeah,
there's also a term, and Lisa, you probably know that Albert Ellis was a well-known psychologist. Mm-hmm. And he developed a term called masturbation. Mm. And I love to use that term because it wakes people up, their eyes open. And, but what it means is when I masturbate, I'm saying I must, I should, I have to, I ought to, and we don't even realize what we're doing to ourselves on the inside. This is part of being driven, is I'm putting pressure on myself. But if I flip that around, instead of masturbating, if I say, I could, I might, I would like to, I want to, I plan to, it's another whole way of feeling inside your skin. You're more empowered, and you're coming again from that C spot of being drawn instead of driven. So even if there's nothing going on outside of us, the way we talk to ourselves can make a big difference in how we feel and how that manifests in our daily lives.
Yes. And the way we talk to ourselves is key in my opinion and experience, and in shifting our mindset, which is just so valuable to really begin to live the kind of lives that are authentic, where we are defining ourselves, articulating ourselves in the world through these,
right,
these C words, with calmness, with clarity and confidence, mm-hmm, having curiosity,
yeah,
and compassion,
right,
being creative,
yeah,
feeling connected to others and ourselves. And our self-talk and our inner critic is the largest part of that. As you said, we all have that inner critic, which speaks louder,
oh, yeah,
or softer depending on our upbringing and such. And so I like working with clients on identifying the inner critic or our shadow side and not eradicate,
uh-huh,
that, but like let's explore that relationship with that part of ourselves and see,
that's
if,
right,
see if
that's
we can,
right,
make that part as a coach, like a coach, as an encourager. And so,
yeah,
how do you help people and how have you helped yourself with that?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, the way I do that is I talk about the critic, for example, or the masturbation as being aspects of us. They're not who we are. So the first thing I say is don't say that you're a control freak. Don't say that you're critical. Don't say that you're a worry wart. When you refer to yourself in those terms, you are identifying with the part as you, and that is huge. Mm. So I talk about the language of separation. And so I have a critic. When I say I have a critic, I'm not saying it's me. I'm saying I have it, but there's more of me. And as you start using that language, you start feeling the more.
Yes.
And you start conceptualizing that there's more of you. So I don't say I'm a worry wart. I might say I've got this worry part of me that takes over sometimes.
I like that.
And then that brings me the clarity of, once I realize that it's there, I've developed something I call the triple A approach. The first A is I'm aware my critic is blended with me. And when I say blended, I mean it has taken over. It is me in that moment. The second A is acknowledgement. So what I do is I say, oh, hey, I see you're here. I start talking to it. I start developing a relationship with it. Okay, I see you're here. Would you step back just a little bit, please, so we can talk? And sometimes that critic will talk back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It may use words, or it may just you may just sense what it's saying. It might say, you're a jerk, or I don't want to talk to you, or you're a piece of crap, or you can't do anything right, or why did you do this, or you're a loser. I don't react to that. I let it do whatever it's doing so that we can have a communication. Now, as I'm acknowledging it, I start to feel those C words more, because it's starting to separate from me. It's like if you're at a cocktail party and you meet someone new that you don't know, and they stand up nose to nose with you, you can't get to know them, so you want them to step back a little bit. And that's what we do with these parts.
Yeah.
And as you get to know it, your critic, and I want everybody to hear this, because so many psychologists, so many self-help people misdirect. They talk about the critic being to fight the critic, to combat the critic, knock it down, get rid of it. You can't get rid of it. It's impossible. We talk about, or I talk about, developing a relationship with it, because
yes,
your critic is like one of those old, I think of those 1940s black and white movies about war, when in boot camp, the sergeant screaming and yelling at the recruit and makes him do 100 push-ups and kicks him in the butt. And then they go off to war, and the guy dies in his arms because he's been shot, and the sergeant's crying. Your critic is trying to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Your critic does not want you to get your head blown off in life. And they want to make sure that you're ready, that you do it perfectly, that you don't take any chances. And we're wired this way. Mother Nature wired us, hardwired us to have these parts to protect us, like a scab protects the flesh physically. There's a parallel process. And so as you start to realize that critic is there to help you, even though it doesn't feel like it, it feels awful sometimes, then you start to get to the third A, and that's acceptance. And once you accept it, you're going to notice it doesn't show up as much. I mean, it's there, and if you need it, like when I write, I need my critic, but I call on it when I need it, not when it wants to be there, to help me clean up a manuscript or, you know, find what the problems are in something when I'm doing therapy. So those are the three A's. So you're aware of a part, you acknowledge it on the inside, and then you get to the place you can accept it. But you have to get to know it a little bit before you can actually accept it.
I like that. And to touch on what you bring up in your book, #chill, and just spoke about our wiring, our central nervous system really being wired for survival. And that speaking to the sympathetic nervous system, which regulates our fight or flight response, and the parasympathetic nervous system regulating our involuntary bodily functions, breathing, organs functioning, etc. And so when we're triggered, the sympathetic nervous system goes on high alert, and it's that space in between the arousal that we're feeling, the alert, and then what do we do with that? And I like how you talk so much about that space, and even using meditation as a practice to develop that inner muscle to be able to respond instead of react. Can you speak to us about that?
Absolutely. I meditate 5 minutes a day, and when I talk with people, I recommend 5 minutes a day. Everybody has 5 minutes between sunrise and sunset that they can meditate. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of meditation. I would recommend that after this broadcast, everybody listening, if you take 1 minute, you don't have to spend a half hour sitting lotus style, chanting and burning incense. Meditation has gotten a bum rap from the 70s drug culture. That's not what meditation is about, although you can sit lotus style and you can burn incense and you can chant. That's one form of meditation. But all you have to do, you can sit in your office, you can sit in your car if you're not driving, and or at home. And for 5 minutes, just notice your breath. And that's what I do. And what happens is you're focusing on your in-breath, in through your nose and out through your mouth, your mind will start to wander and you'll think, what are we going to have for dinner? And why did I say that to that person today? Or what am I going to do tomorrow? And what am I going to wear? And then you catch your mind wandering and you just bring it back to your breath and in through your nose and out through your mouth. Part of your mind wandering is that's what meditation is. And people give up. They also think if when they're asked to do 20 minutes, that sounds impossible. So I always say 5 minutes. Anybody can do 5 minutes. And if you want to do 10, that's okay. If you want to do more, fine. But if you only require yourself to do five, anybody can do it, and you're more likely to do it. Now, as you said, what happens is meditation helps you regulate your nervous system. Mm-hmm. And it actually, over time, will help you be more in your parasympathetic nervous system. That's what we call the rest and digest response. Mm-hmm. We know that we have something called the resilient zone. Now, the resilient zone, you cannot see it under a microscope, but we can see it in the brain when we do MRIs. What happens is if you meditate regularly over a period of time, there will be a point at which you notice things don't bother you as much. You're able to, instead of react, you're able to be more in the C spot. But it takes practice. Like if you go to the gym, you're not going to build your muscles in one day. But over time, you'll start to see that. So I like the way you referred to it as a muscle. So you're building this muscle of being in that C spot and being able to make that choice instead of reacting automatically like so many of us do. So meditation is not just about that 1 5-minute session, which leaves you usually feeling refreshed and calm, but it starts to build over time so that you have your resilient zone widens. So it's there's an advantage to meditation, not just, you know, when you're doing it in 5 minutes, but you're actually building that muscle. And it allows you to get that feeling of when something triggers you to stay in that spot, and it's like hitting a home run. And everybody can do it. Everybody, I think most people have more power than they realize. Mm-hmm. But this helps you start to access some of that power. I was going to also suggest after the broadcast, if everybody listening takes 1 minute and just listen to the sounds around you, and identify as many different sounds as you can. Could be your gurgling stomach, could be the heating system or the air conditioning. It could be traffic outside or an airplane going over or your neighbor's weed eater. And just kind of notice each one. If you do that for 1 minute, then go inside and forget about what you just heard. Notice your heart rate, your mm-hmm. muscles, and your respiratory rate. And you'll notice your breathing's probably slowed down, your heart rate slowed down. That's one form of meditation, and all you're doing is just being in the present moment. Meditation is about focus. You're focusing on the sounds in that particular situation, and it brings you into the present moment, and it slows everything down. You're out of your thinking mind. And that's why. So you can do it, we call it open awareness meditation, by the colors around you. If you just look around and notice all the blue things in your office, that's another form, but it's a focus would be a mantra. Some people, you know, say a mantra and that helps them get into the parasympathetic nervous system.
Yes.
Whatever you want to use is fine. I love just the breath. It's portable. It's there. It doesn't cost anything. I don't need equipment. I can do it anywhere. But, meditation is not some weird thing that people do. It's a practical, tool now that, at Harvard, they've done tons of research Nice. Showing how it changes the brain. We call that neuroplasticity,
mm-hmm.
that when you meditate, your hippocampus, which is responsible for memory, over time does not shrink. Most people, as they age, the hippocampus shrinks, and that's why they have the short-term memory problems.
Mm-hmm.
But people who meditate regularly over time, they don't have that happen. And there are so many other. It affects your immune system in a positive way. Your mental health, your well-being, your physicality, it has so many different advantages. And 5 minutes a day, it's free.
Yes. Brian, we're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back.
Okay.
Indeed, listening is the new reading. With Audible, you can listen to an unlimited amount of books at home, in your car, at the gym, anywhere on the go. With over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from. For you, the listener of All Things Therapy, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a month-long subscription for you to try them out. Visit audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy now. And enjoy.
Do you want to help yourself and friends find a purpose in life?
Then you are in the right place and be a part of the crowdfunding campaign of patreon.com/allthingstherapy.
With Lisa Tahir as she initiates a one-on interaction with inspiring authors, healing experts, and spiritual directors.
Join the League of Heroes of this generation by contributing your quota between $1 up to $100 per month
at patreon.com/allthingstherapy.
Let's make the world free of suicide, poverty, depression, and in all, make the world a better place for everyone.
Welcome back to All Things Therapy. If you're just joining us, I am with licensed psychotherapist and author, Dr. Brian Robinson. We are discussing today this book, #chill, Turn Off Your Job and Turn On Your Life. And Brian, I wanted to let listeners know something I thought was really cool about this book and unique is just the physical layout of it, how this book begins with January. It goes through each month of the year, January through December, and you focus on specific takeaways at the end. And in the beginning, just mm-hmm. kind of an idea, as I'm going to encapsulate it, like an idea to embrace. For example, January having to do with fresh starts. And at the end of your book, which I think is so cool, that you give us 366 chillers. So it's a statement for every day of the year. And I wanted to read today's chiller for August 1st.
Oh, great. Perfect.
I strive to live life in the present.
And so what you do?
Yeah, go ahead. I was hoping you could
what you
take
do
off with
that. Those
yeah.
chillers is you take that one little sentence you just read and file it away. And usually what happens, something in the day will affect you or trigger you, or you might just have a thought that stresses you out, and you just remember what that was, bring your attention to it, and then watch what happens inside. Would you read it again, Lisa?
Absolutely. And it's something you can use every day. It's
yes.
Like to really flip through the month. Like I was reading through last night, July and August, just some really cool, like be a giant oak, establish a work free zone. I'm just flipping through. Live unchained, smile, just these headings, say yes more, adjust your attitude. And then you go on from there to offer some supportive thoughts and passages on how to, for example, revel in soulful feelings. It's really well done. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And each month, it's divided into 12 months or 12 chapters, and each month has a theme. Like April, for example, is called open-minded awareness, and that reflects the activity, that one-minute episode of listening to sounds around you. That's an open-minded awareness. And April in North America, in the Northern Hemisphere, is the time when things are opening up, the environment, the birds are hatching, flowers are blooming. And so there is this theme that goes with each month that also has to do with what's going on the inside of us, the opening, and how to open up more to the present moment and be in that moment, and how that helps us stay in that C-spot and chill.
Yeah, and I want to let our listeners know, I really love May. The month of May is admitting your fuck-ups. And how refreshing is that to open a book and see a place where we can openly and willingly admit our fuck-ups? And that, to me, ties into how you were just speaking about meditation and starting one's day or at any point of the day with 5 minutes of quiet-minded awareness, being in the present moment, to give ourselves that time to tune in and check in, that whatever happens in our day, I have found that I'm going to handle it better than if I hadn't meditated. And even if there's a fuck-up, it's a little bit less. And I feel like I can I can realize my part in something faster when I've been meditating regularly. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect or always respond. That to me feels like when you were talking about being driven. You know, instead of being drawn out, like we're going to make mistakes. We're going to react, yet over time with this practice, we'll react a bit more softly and recover faster.
Right. And when we admit our fuck-ups, it's not about attacking ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's not about vilifying ourselves. It's the opposite. It's loving ourselves. And as you take that inventory, NAA, they call it the fourth step.
Yes.
And this is the fifth step, I mean. One, two, three, four. Yeah, it's the fifth step. So what you're really doing is just acknowledging that you're human and you're having compassion for yourself, that these are some of the things that you could work on and be aware of. But it's not about attacking yourself or making yourself feel bad. It's just that admitting your human fallibilities. And along with that, it's like I said earlier, if anybody ever sees me frustrated when I'm standing in a long line, that's a part of me. And I'm doing the best I can with it. But if it takes over a little bit, I'm a human being, as long as I'm regulating it most of the time. And here's the message at the end as we go through these 12 months is how can we take this and live a life of quality and integrity that we feel good about? And because we're all going to get triggered, that's part of, I think, why we're on this planet, is to learn to deal with it. And just think, I mean, hashtag chill is not about world peace, but it's a good place to start, because if I can have peace with myself, and if I can have peace with the person who steps in line in front of me unwittingly, or the baby crying behind me on the long airplane flight, or my neighbor when I'm trying to sleep who revs up his leaf blower, or the dog that pees on the carpet, or my spouse who goes out and spends $1,000 without consulting me. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is called life, L-I-F-E, and it's going to happen. The key is what I do with it. And if I can forgive myself and others, because I know I step in line in front of people. I've done it before, not on purpose. I've pulled in front of people, and they've had to slam on brakes accidentally. We're all human. So the more I can forgive myself and others, I'm hoping that can get passed on and people can do that for me. But I know this is idealistic, but what a world we could make if, you know, with the ripple effect, if we could all allow ourselves to be human and forgive ourselves.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The book that I wrote and is being released is about that theme of empathy and self-forgiveness, and then being able to extend that towards others as well.
And I look forward to getting a copy of that, Lisa. When is it coming out?
It's coming out in the fall of 2020. I can send you an early copy if you'd like to check it out.
I'd love it.
I'd love that. It's such an honor. Thank you.
Great.
Because I believe it's a mindset of living from that place. Again, knowing we can't do it perfectly, even if we tried. So I don't want people, I know you don't either, to get in this restrictive, obsessive, I have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. It's about
really
like living from a heart-centered space is what I took away from your book.
That's right.
And chill, like that inner place. At first I was like, okay, hashtag chill. And then when I got into the material, it really is this inner place. And
it is.
And that's really important for, I think, listeners to know. It could be watching the football game with a beer or sitting on the beach, but it could also be just when you're in the bathroom quietly putting the phone on silent and being with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And paying attention to what, is there any part of me that's a little stirred up? We tend to not pay attention to that. We tend to focus on the external. Like, in most of my life, if someone gave me the finger, like the woman that I mentioned earlier, I would focus on that. And I might get grumpy and pissed off, and I might even give her the finger back and then feel bad. But this is about what's going on inside of me right now and what choice do I want to make in this moment. And that's a whole different way of thinking about moment to moment as you're moving through your life. And I will tell you, you feel so much better, regardless of what someone else is doing. If someone's negative, you can be positive. If someone is being mean, you can still be kind. And I know that I'm making it sound so easy, and it's not. It takes practice.
It does.
Because we are wired for reactivity, for survival. But it is possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can... You know, we don't have to be perfect, like you said. It's not about perfection. It's about progress.
Progress, yes. So I also want to let listeners know about the really cool survey or test you have on your website at brianrobinsonbooks.com to see where you are on the chill, kind of like chillometer is how I think of it, where you can do that questionnaire. I did it this morning, and I ended up with a chill. I was in a moderate range of chill, so I was happy to see
good
that.
Good for you.
It's been a work in progress for the last several years.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was a cool little interactive part of your website for people to go check
right.
out.
Right, and folks can go on there and take it. It's free, and it's electronically scored. As soon as you take it, it'll give you a score and tell you what that score means. They're also on the website. There are some of the blogs I've written for Forbes and Psychology Today. Those are all free, and there are some of the other books I've written, but everything on there is just more resources for anybody who's interested.
So do you still see private clients? I wanted to ask you, how much is writing, how much is private practice, and just right now in your life?
I actually do. I try to keep my practice to 2.5 days a week, and I take Mondays and Fridays off, so I have four-day weekends, and those four-day weekends are for me to put on the brakes. I like to think of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic as gas and brakes. Our sympathetic is the gas. If we need to get away, if we're being attacked, or if we need to attack somebody who's trying to hurt us, if that's the gas. It's also that part of us that's trying to, it helps us get to work, it helps us be productive. And then the brakes is when we stop and slow down. The problem is, many people today are living without brakes. They have the gas, and that's why so many people are burning out. The burnout rate is incredibly high. That's why so many people are stressed out. So the key is just think about yourself as a car. If you're a car and you're going 80 miles an hour trying to change tires at the same time and there's no brakes, you're going to burn out. You're going to go off the cliff. You're going to die early. Let's just be honest. We know that's a fact. But if you have brakes now and then, if you have these chill moments from time to time, it keeps the stress from being cumulative, and then you're able to get things done in a more productive way and a more efficient way, actually. That's what all the new research is showing. It sounds counterintuitive, but people think, well, if I hurry and I rush and I do three things at once, I'll get more done. That's not true. That's not fact. That the science shows the opposite. Mm-hmm. When we're clear-minded, when we're calmer, and when we're methodical, we're going to get more done, and the quality of what we produce is going to be better. So think of the gas and brakes and ask yourself, do I have, and I'm, when I say brakes, I'm talking about B-R-A-K-E-S, like in a car,
yes,
but also B-R-E-A-K-S, like do you take time out from life? And if you do, what do you do with that? Everybody needs self-care.
Yeah.
And many people put everybody else before themselves, their kids, their spouse, their clients, their work. So it's really about moving yourself up to the top, because that's where you're gonna get more done and be better at what you're doing.
Absolutely. So, Brian, is the best way for people to get your book through, say, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com? How can people get your work?
Barnes & Noble does a chilogram every month from my book.
That's cool.
At the first of the month. So, yes, you can get it on any Barnes & Noble should have the book. Definitely Amazon.com. All local bookstores should have the book. You can get it through the indie bookstores as well. And they have a website online that you can get the book from. So it's everywhere. It's even in the airports. I was surprised.
That's awesome.
How many people have sent me. Yeah, JFK in New York and in the Charlotte airport, they have a display of the book out front. So it's pretty much everywhere right now and seems to be doing pretty well. So I'm really pleased.
And then for listeners to know your social media, you are on Instagram under Brian Robinson Author, B-R-Y-A-N. And on Facebook as Robinson Brian E.
Correct.
In case people want to follow you there. And when is your murder mystery out? I think that's just so cool that you write in that genre as well. That made me laugh.
Well, it's called She'll Be Killing Round the Mountain.
Wow.
And it should be out sometime in 2020. It's with my agent right now, and he's passing it around, waiting to get a publisher. So As soon as we get a publisher, then hopefully it'll be out sometime in 2020.
Brian, what would you like to leave our listeners with? We have a couple more minutes for me to turn it over.
Well, I think it goes back to this whole thing of being more loving and compassionate with ourselves, being calmer. When we talk about putting ourselves first, that's not selfish. Mm-hmm. That's self-care. There's a difference. Many of us are, when we commonly react to things, we don't really stop to think about what's going on inside of us and how that's affecting us mentally and physically. So taking time to take a breath and step back and chilling, we typically think about, you mentioned this earlier, kicking back with a beer and watching the football game or lying by the pool with your favorite drink. That's great to do, but that's external. Really, if you want to chill, you want to go inside. And when you go inside and just watch with curiosity is the gateway, and what's going on inside. And it helps you become more aware. It helps you be in the present moment. And it's a way for you, when you do that, it's like your gas tank is full. You've got the brakes. You're going to be a better person. You're going to like yourself more. You're going to be a better partner, a better parent if you have kids, a better colleague. But you want to put yourself first. It's like that old metaphor, you know, if you're on an airplane and there's an emergency, the oxygen mask drops. And if you have a child on your
yes.
lap, who gets the oxygen first?
You do.
Not the child. You.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's not selfish. That's because if you give yourself the self-care first, you're going to be more capable of taking care of the child on your lap who's incapable of taking care of themselves. So that's the way it works. And if people can just remember that, it's not selfish of you to love yourself and to take care of yourself and to do good things for yourself, because everything else comes from that.
Yes. Brian, thank you for being my guest today. It was such a pleasure.
I appreciate it, Lisa. It's great to be on your show, and I appreciate all you're doing. I think it's wonderful, and I look forward to getting your book.
Thank you. That means so much to me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That concludes my show today with Dr. Brian Robinson, author of Hashtag Chill. And thank you for listening, for watching, supporting me. I am here to support you through NOLATherapy.com. And on Facebook and Instagram at NOLA Therapy, New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. I have a wonderful evening, day, weekend, and I look forward to being back with you next week.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir. Only.